I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of A Life's But a Song, a podcast likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is helper elf of the podcast. It's Mark Benani, everyone.
Woo!
I am so happy all the time to be here.
Well, you should be super happy to be here, because today we're talking about the 2014 animated film Elf, Buddy's Musical Christmas. The screenplay is by Thomas Meehan, a name we all know, Bob Martin, Aaron Horvath, and Michael Jelenic. Music.
Well, and Bob Martin's a name you should know, too. That's Man in the Chair.
Oh, that is the man in the chair. But music and lyrics by Matthew Sklar and Chad Beguilin, directed by Mark Caballero and Seamus Walsh, and according to IMDb, a musical stop-motion adaptation of the well-known movie Buddy, a human raised in the North Pole, goes to New York to find his family. Okay, right off the bat, I want to say something that I think might be controversial, but I have to say it.
You don't like Elf, the movie.
Well, it's not that. No. Oh. We'll get to Elf, the movie.
Okay.
But I want to say something controversial. Okay. I think this is the version that it should have been from the get. Because there's something about the animation and the silliness. Don't get me wrong. Elf is hilarious. I understand a lot of the guerrilla filmmaking that they did in that movie, and that's what was a lot of the humor, allowing Will Ferrell to improvise and everything. But I feel like it worked better as a stop motion movie.
Wow.
I don't know.
Really, it brings that extra Christmas dimension of, you know, stop motion Christmas. It has a magical quality to it.
Yes. Like, I know in Elf, they reference Rankin and Bass, because Rankin and Bass, as we've done on the podcast, is like Christmas and the stop motion gods. But this was a different style. And I really appreciated that like maybe they had like a touch or two here and there of Rankin and Bass. But it feels like the animation of this is what, like, as a, you know, okay, so. For example, revivals on Broadway, right?
Yep.
You have to go at it with a different meaning, a different way. Like, why are we reviving it? Prime example I like to give is the Spring Awakening Deaf West revival, because I finally understood what the show was about. I feel like it's the same sentiments with this version of Elf. I'm sorry to go hard so fast for you.
No, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a massive fan of the original.
Yeah, is that like one of your holiday go-tos?
Definitely one of my holiday go-tos. To me, an absolute classic. It's just so positive, and to me, no one can bring just pure, unadulterated, unironic joy like Will Ferrell can, especially in that movie.
That's true, because that Elf, the original movie, came out in 2003, so he was still on SNL at the time, or just about to leave, or just left?
Or just had left. I know he was in the 90s.
Right. So he was, riding the SNL high.
Definitely.
Of it all, and he was starting to, like, get into movies and everything, and...
Yeah.
You know, I loved how they animated Buddy in this one, where they made like everything super long and
the style of this, like you were saying, is so unique, and how a lot of the background New Yorkers are just cutouts and
they use a lot of like 2D and 3D animation style with the way everything is laid out. So how did you feel about the cuts that they made?
I mean, you know, if you're going to have to make a, you know, with commercials, 45, you know, an hour with commercials, you only get 45 minutes of actual film. If you have to cut down a however long movie, plus adding music to that. So, you know, I think Elf, the musical, is at least 2 hours, if not 2.5, with intermission. So cutting
Yeah.
that down to 45 minutes, I thought they really, you lose some of the heart and the arc and the story, but I think they did a really good job of condensing it all. Like they could have cut, we'll get to the flats, but I think they could have cut some storylines, like the naughty listers. That whole thing could have been cut.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
I mean, but it's just then you could have done a little more with Jovi. That's the cuts from the stage show are mostly Jovi's arc and character development and their relationship, and then Deb, the secretary, Mr. Hobbs' secretary, who in the movie is Amy Sedaris.
Yes.
She's a much bigger role in the stage show and gets some songs with Buddy. So that sort of was cut for this.
Oh, okay.
But for, like I said, for a condensed 43-minute, 44-minute story, I thought they did a pretty bang up job of adapting it.
Yeah, because the major thing that they cut in this version of it is all the department store stuff.
Right. Which I don't think he no, he goes to the department store in the stage show, but he doesn't, I don't think he works there. I haven't seen it since the original 2010 production.
Well, since we're here, let's talk about the stage version. As you said, it premiered on Broadway in 2010 as a limited holiday engagement. There was a revival in 2012 where they changed the opening song to What's in This
Happy all
as
the time.
Happy All the Time. And now, as of this recording, it's already happening. There is another revival of it with Gray Henson as Buddy and Sean Astin playing Santa Claus and Mr. Greenway, which I
Which
think
is
that's
different.
fascinating.
That's an interesting.
Well, so the 2015 West End version did that with the Santa and Mr. Greenway tracking. But yeah, I like Gray Henson. I know him from the Mean Girls. I didn't see Mean Girls, but I've seen like clips of him on like the morning shows and listened to him. So as so I feel like he
And
is.
you didn't see Shucked?
I did not see Shucked, unfortunately, and I'm very upset about myself. But that's another story for another day. But I feel like he as like the Gray as his type of humor and everything that he had as Damien in Mean Girls like works for Buddy as
I
well.
think it's gonna hit. I think he's gonna be amazing, and I cannot wait to see him. I'm gonna try to take my girls to see the show because they love this animated special.
Oh
This
yeah.
is a yearly watch for us, for the girls.
So has it been that you watch more this versus the original movie, or do you watch them both back to back? Kind of.
We watch both of them. I know my oldest loves the original movie too. My 4-year-old is a little too young to sit through a whole live action movie that's not a musical. But this, will get watched sort of several times throughout the holiday season because it's short, so it holds their attention pretty well, and it's just they like to watch things back to back to back, and so this is one of those ones that just gets played a lot, and I really enjoy it. It's a good score. I always love Matt Sklar and Chad Begelin, their music. What they did, Wedding Singer, and they did The Prom.
Yes, that's how I know their names. Got it.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds totally different from their other stuff, but still, like, everything is amazing in this. Like all the songs were very peppy, and I'm surprised that they didn't borrow more from like classical holiday songs. Like there's moments in here where they do play snippets from the Nutcracker, which you know that's great in and of itself as background noise and everything. But I was kind of surprised that they didn't use that as a jumping point for some of their songs, but also I'm glad that it's
Yeah.
all originals.
I hear you on that. I don't know what the rights situations are for a lot of these songs. I'm sure most of them are in the public domain, but you never know. Something, I mean, wasn't Happy Birthday copyrighted for like
Right.
ever? So you never, I don't know,
You know, Tchaikovsky is going to be mad at them for using.
Right. No,
Where
I think the music is great, and you get the big numbers you want, like I don't remember, Sparkle, Tingly, Jolly, whatever the name is, the title, the song,
Sparkle,
but it,
Jolly, Twinkle, Jingly.
yeah. But then
One
you also
word.
like the mom and Michael's song, you know, if I'll Believe in You, Santa, that I you know that song was so sweet and touching.
Some like that was a moment where I was like, what is this? Like they
Right?
also changed the family dynamic, because if I remember correctly, in the 2003 film, the kid, the brother or little brother, is m more standoffish, more annoying, more, he was
He's more of
very,
a
very.
teenager. He's, I think, younger in this version than.
I love that we never saw his eyes. As the
That's
character
such
design,
a.
the hair was over his eyes. But like, I love that there was more with the mom and the brother, who are both like, yeah, Christmas sucks because dad is always working, but we're gonna have fun with ourselves.
Yeah.
And it was truly heartbreaking, that song. But those two voices, Rachel McFarlane and Max Charles, who were the mom and son respectively, blended so well together.
Yeah. Well, and those two are voiceover, you know, masters. Both, I mean, Rachel McFarlane is from the Seth, you know, that's Seth McFarlane's wife. I believe his wife.
Sister.
Sister, sorry.
Yeah.
And she's the one of the she's the voice of the daughter, I think, on American Dad or Mom.
Yeah, and obviously he's cast her in other and Family Guy and Ted and all the
Yeah,
other
so she's done,
things.
and then the kid has his IMDb bio is like 80 pages long. He's the voice of the lead lion in The Lion Guard, which is a show I've watched for many years now, thanks to my kids, and a ton of. You know, animated voice work. So they're both pros.
And he's been on Family Guy too, I'm seeing.
Well, there you go.
And American Dad. So like, yeah. And then we have Jim Parsons, who plays Buddy, who I have to say, Gray is gonna be great in the stage version. Jim Parsons was great as the voice for this version of it.
Yeah.
It made sense. He was like manic, but n also like not when it needed to be. It was just great, you know. And then we have epic voiceover actor Mark Hamill, otherwise known as Luke Skywalker,
Yes, or and the Joker.
and the Joker, playing the voicing the dad, Walter. And I like it in whatever, I can't remember which song it is, but there's a moment where he sings and he's just like, I'm singing now. It's kind of,
Yeah.
it works, it's funny. And then we
Yeah,
have,
it's a great story, the whole Buddy the Elf. I mean, there's a reason that it's a, you know, a modern classic. It's
I don't think, I mean, besides like details and what we mentioned earlier, I don't really think they changed that much of the story, you know, the story at large, where it's Buddy has to find his dad, and his dad doesn't, his biological father doesn't want anything to do with him, but then at the end of at the end of the movie, they end up having a relationship. But they, this one added that whole naughty list thing, correct? Or at least the stage
Yeah,
version
well,
added it.
no, this version added, I can't remember what it is in the stage show, to be honest with you, but the naughty list you're seeing replaces in the 2003 film the Central Park guards, the Central Park
Oh,
police
yeah.
officers that chase him down.
Yes.
They just need something to chase. They just need a device to chase the sleigh to add tension, basically. It's just they're plot devices, so it's not my favorite aspect of
Right.
the show.
I'm reading that, like, you know, obviously they got rid of Papa Elf,
Yeah, I don't
who
mind that they combined his character with Santa, or that
it
they,
kind of
you know,
makes sense, right?
yeah, you've gotta condense, and they sort of got rid of the they sort of combined the boss with the oh, what's the actor's name? Lannister. Tyrion Lannister.
Oh, Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. They sort of combine those characters, which makes sense, you know.
Oh, the boss, the department store boss, you mean?
No, his boss, the little person, Mr. Greenway. Mr.
Yeah.
Greenway is now a little person who he calls an elf, as opposed to a separate person they bring in.
Oh, right. 'Cause I believe that's like a client or something. I don't
They bring
remember.
in him to, they bring in this magic, you know, kids book writer to help them get a story for the holidays.
Right,
That's like a
which
B plot that they eliminated for this.
I love those two coworkers or workers for him in this one that are presenting off-brand classics.
Right, just re yeah. I think Fred Armisen is one of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So Mr. Greenway is voiced by Gilbert Gottfried, who is perfect.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen and Steve Higgins. Oh, Higgins. He's on the Tonight Show. Oh no, the Jimmy Fallon. What's he on? I'm sorry, I'm looking it up as we speak
No,
right
it's
now.
fine. I think this was an NBC.
Yeah, it was. 'Cause he
Because there
also
was
so he wrote for
like Matt
SNL.
Lauer had a cameo and a bunch of other people. Jay Leno.
Yeah, he wrote for SNL and he is on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. That as his Higgins, the guy that he talks
Yeah,
to a
his
lot.
second banana.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Now that I know that, yes. Are the voices of the coworkers. But yeah, honestly, this was just a joy to watch. Halsey is the sea serpent I'm seeing.
That's
And
a well, we'll get to that when I get to sharps and flats.
then we have Ed Asner playing Santa,
The
which
only
that
person
was
from the movie.
yes.
He was
Yeah.
Santa in the original movie.
Which makes sense. I mean,
Yeah, if it's a voice, you know,
yeah, because
vocal performance.
who was it? Bob Newhart played the
Papa
Papa
Elf.
Elf. Yeah. Who?
The late great, a lot of late greats in the cast now.
Well, he could have recorded for this, but I guess they wanted to just keep Ed Asner as
As yeah, it's yeah.
the
Well, it's
voice of
no, he was
Santa.
Santa in the Elf.
But I'm saying, like, instead of having, Bob Newhart be the voice of
Oh yeah, B
Santa,
said
I
yeah,
guess they
true.
wanted Ed Asner to be the voice of Santa just to reprise his role, if you will.
Yes.
I don't know where else to go with this besides the fact that I did like this. So you can report back to your
Yay.
wife that I did like something
We
that you
got
did.
one. We'll check our scoreboard and we'll mark one on the like category.
So, but you've seen the stage version. So is this how much of this is the stage version versus the original movie? Besides the songs.
I feel like it's more, from what I remember, that's it's been what, 14 years. I feel like this is more using elements from the musical to do an animated version of the movie.
Okay, so like they blended the worlds together in a way.
Sort of, although, you know, they do the whole Santa, you know, Nobody Cares About Santa song with all the Santas, which isn't in the film. So, you know, I mean, I guess it's a nice little blend. It's a nice, you know.
I liked that
It's like
one.
a, it's a great song. It's, you know, it's and the thing with the this movie, it's, you know, there's only like four people doing the song. So in the show, you get like, you know, a whole ensemble of people
Ensemble.
singing this. Nobody cares. Nobody. I mean,
Right. I wrote down a
great
couple of
Broadway fun.
times in different songs that like it feels like this is a big dance song.
Yes.
Like that one that you were just talking about, Nobody Cares About Santa. Like this feels like a big dance number. A Christmas song at the end, Sparkle Jolly Twinkle Jingly. What a trippy song that was. But
Yeah.
still, like it feels like if again we were recording this before the Broadway revival is opening, but it feels like they're all big dance numbers. And, I think I would like to see this. I'm not sure. I mean, are you planning on seeing again before it's open? Are you planning on seeing the revival?
Yeah, definitely. I want to take my girls to it. I want to think it's, I mean, my oldest loves shows. She's a huge fan of Suffs and Wicked, and she's been to, I think, 12, 14 shows now. Anyway, but the 4-year-old has never been, but she's now 4, which is the age that it's generally considered acceptable. So, yeah, I think we're going to, since she knows the special, for her first Broadway show, take her to see this. My wife did Mean Girls. She was on the wardrobe crew for Mean Girls, so we've loved Gray forever, and he knows the girls. So
So you're
seeing
gonna get a
him,
backstage tour and everything.
here's hoping. Yeah, I'm definitely, I saw it the first time. I didn't see the return engagement. Didn't feel the need, but it's been enough time now. I think it's a really It's a fun story, and I think Gray is perfect for that role in his own way.
Right, of course. He's gonna interpret it his own way, but I feel like he. From what I've seen of the promotional material, again, we're recording this beforehand. I can't solidify how much I record in advance. But in the promotional material I've seen of him, like he is joy and he is, having so much fun and he is his own kind of cartoon character that this role is. I mean, even we could say that about even Will Ferrell, like he played a cartoon character. Let's be real.
He's almost like a walking claymation person himself.
Which I'm kind of glad in this version they didn't do the sidewalk stuff that Will Ferrell improvised, because there's just something about knowing that it was guerrilla filmmaking and knowing that it was all improv and that he was messing around with people of New York. It feels like if they try to recreate that with claymation or stop motion, it wouldn't. Something would be lost in it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They do a nod to it, and that he keeps getting hit by cars every time he crosses the street. It's always every element you want from the film and the stage version are in there, but it also does its own vision. It's very, it has the director, the creative directors, they all had a singular vision of how they wanted this to look, and it pays off. And while it may not be, one of the biggest, everybody watches it every year on Christmas, I think for the people who do watch it every year, it's like a 9 people's favorite thing and 100 people's 9th favorite thing type deal. I think
I've
it's.
never heard of this version of it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I knew about the stage version prior to like reading about Sean Astin being in it and this revival that's happening. I didn't even know, 2010 was a long time ago.
It is all that's a
And
whole lifetime ago now.
a lot has happened. But I see that like Beth Level played
Yeah, she
Emily
was
in
in
both.
both. Yeah.
Mark Jacoby was Walter in both versions of it.
Yeah, Amy Spanger was the first Jovi.
Original Jovi, and then we have Leslie Kurtzer as the revival. Kimberly Walsh played her in the West End, and now we have Kayla Davion.
Yeah, I don't know her.
I don't know this person either,
It's technically
but.
not a revival, though. If it's less than 3, it has to be over 3 years closed to be considered a revival. Anything under 2 years, it's considered a return engagement.
So, well, I'm reading literally what's on the Wikipedia page. So, grain of salt,
Well,
everyone.
Wikipedia is
Wikipedia's
wrong.
false. So, the 2012 version. Well, because to your knowledge, it is the same. It was the same show, same everything. Like they just dusted it off and recast people.
Yeah,
And
except for the opening number.
well,
It was,
yes.
and yeah, a couple new cast members. I mean, again, I didn't see the return engagement. But yeah, but it was just, we're doing it again this Christmas, which happens a lot. Shows typically, White Christmas did it. They'll come to Broadway. If it goes well, they'll do it one more year, and then that'll be it.
Especially like holiday shows. Like, I
No.
know we did an episode on the Christmas Carol that happened at Madison Square Garden, but that was a 10-year contracted engagement that they had. So it was the same. They dusted it off, recast,
Yeah, same old, same old.
refit, but it was the same set, same costumes, same music. I'm glad that we're getting a revival of this because, it is such a beloved movie. I'm not gonna lie, it's not my go-to. Say that. I will watch it, but it's not one of my go-to holiday movies.
Favorite Christmas movie, go.
Oh my God. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Mine is
That is.
Miracle on 34th Street, the original black and white.
I'm gonna. Oh no, my favorite is Muppet Family Christmas.
Muppet Family Christmas.
Muppet Family
Ooh,
Christmas.
deep cut.
Yeah, that one we grew up on. I did a whole episode with my family because my mom, I remember we recorded it off of, like, she recorded it on a VHS off of TV and everything. So we had the commercials and all that.
Those are the
And
best ones. Those are the best versions of everything.
yes. And now you
I remember I
can't.
might record it off the TV, Pee-wee's Christmas special. Yeah.
And now you can't really find a version of Muppet Family Christmas. Because they don't have the songs, or they don't have all the songs in it because of copyright.
Oh, boo.
But I feel like with this one, this version, I feel like 45 minutes, perfect for this, for what they wanted to do. If they were going to do the full stage version, I would rather it be humans, personally, or just film the stage version of it. But if they're going to do an animated version, under an hour or hour and a half or something,
Yeah.
because those elves, the characters of them, they were a little bit nightmarish.
You didn't like the little blue demons?
Their teeth were so what, like, I get it, they were having fun being goofy. It kind of looked like Wallace and Gromit a little bit, but I was just like, I can't with little blue demons.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's definitely a choice how they made the elves. Definitely a choice.
But there's out of the stage version that has 18 songs, including the overture and entr'acte, there's nine of them. So they have about half the songs in this, which is amazing.
Yeah, they only cut out a few. They cut, all the reprises of everything, but yeah, they really got all the meat in.
And they moved the story of Buddy the Elf to be the ending.
Yeah, which I think if I remember correctly, they sort of do the song twice, one at and in the show in the second act, and then they do a whole sort of the finale version in this. They do in the stage version.
Oh, I understand.
Feel
Because
like
I'm seeing it in the middle of like Act Two as title, but then at the end they just call it the finale. But it wouldn't make sense if that's like.
Yeah, I think like do this new story buddy up as the finale too. And the other one is like when they're coming up with the book that he's gonna write for his, That's why in this show he's kind of like thinking of a story because they're trying to get him to tell his story.
This was a fun movie. Thank you for bringing it.
Yay! Yeah, it's a sweet little adaptation.
Thinking about it after watching it, like, Elf is a movie that I feel like the musical version of it was warranted. Like, sometimes, they make movies into musicals and you're like, why four? It was a great movie, But this one, I feel like it works. Like what they wrote around, what they turned into songs, the things that they changed. Like the department store moment in the original movie, I think served that movie well. But in this one, changing Jovi to be a Santa or elf on the sidewalk for Salvation Army or whatever, or somebody who collects money, that worked for me. It made sense. It because she's still like playing an elf-like character in a job that she hates. And people are terrible to her.
And a job where she could confuse him as an employee.
Right. Yes. I also really like Nobody Cares About Santa because it
It's a
I
bop, as the kids say.
I know in the stage version it's got to be covering for like a set change or a costume change or something. Kind of like when we did Top Banana and there was that number in the department store where I was like, they're covering something. I don't know what. This one, I feel like they're covering something because Buddy is just there. If I remember correctly, like he's not part of the actual song.
No, they're sort of singing to Buddy.
Yeah. So, like, maybe something, maybe they're rigging the sleigh up.
Maybe that's true.
Oh my goodness.
We'll have to, I will have to see, my memory will be refreshed when I see the show, hopefully.
Yes. Oh, so okay. There's a moment.
Uh-oh.
Why did they have to have that moment of Buddy thinking Greenway is an elf? Could they have done something different?
Well, 'cause that's the catalyst to get him kicked out.
Right. But I feel like, because I'm assuming in the stage version, they don't do that, or they didn't do that.
No, I believe, I can't remember if they did. Yeah, no, I don't. Did they? I can't remember. I know that he like shreds something, like he accidentally shreds something, if I remember correctly, and that's when he gets kicked out. So they may not. I think it's just a memorable scene from the movie, I think, is the only answer of why they would do
Right.
it.
Buddy shreds shreds a document, not understanding its significance. That's what Wikipedia is saying.
There you go. My memory is banging today.
Well, because I understand it's an honest moment for the character, but I mean, conversations of comedy, which we've talked about. I know we've talked about, and I've
Yeah.
talked about a lot on this. Always in flux over the years. And I mean, in 2014, I feel like they could have done the shredding paper instead of the.
Yeah, because I don't remember a little person being in the cast, and the ensemble play the elves in the beginning. I think that I think they had little like feet, like fake feet,
Like a
like
Lord
they're
Farquaad.
something like that. My memory is whatever, but
And of course, in this now revival, this is a revival, per your definition of
this
what a
is a
revival.
revival, yes.
Who knows what they're gonna do? Unless you see it, and we can maybe insert something here or not, and have just a fun moment in this podcast episode.
Is it the same, if you've got it open, is it the same director and choreographer from the original run, or is it a completely new creative team for this revival?
So the production is directed by Philip William McKinley, choreographed by Liam Steele, set and costume design by Tim Goodchild, lighting design by Patrick Woodroffe, and sound design by Gareth Owen. That is for this revival.
It's Gareth Owen. That means it's going to be loud. I can tell
Casey
you that much.
Nicola directed
Casey
the
Nicholaw did the. Yeah, you're right.
original.
All right. So, yeah, the whole new vision.
Yeah, and it seems like they have a whole new team behind it too. I'm
And
not
it got good
seeing.
reviews. It just opened like last night
Oh shit.
or the night before, and it got really good reviews, actually. I was very surprised.
It's really fascinating. I had this page opened up a couple of days ago, and there was nothing about the Broadway, the 2024 revival. And then when I refreshed just before recording with you, it just popped up.
They literally on opening day, they like released a whole bunch of press.
Right, because I do remember prior to the opening, people being like, Sean Astin's now in a musical. Woo! And that's like the selling point. And then I guess they were a few weeks after that, they did Gray Henson.
I
You
mean,
liked him. Remember
yeah.
him?
Remember him? He was on Girls Five Eva.
He's done a bunch of things. He's coming up on the Broadway. But do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I don't think so. I think we covered.
I mean, it is a
It's a short. It's
short film.
a short film.
I honestly, I would recommend somebody at you add this, the listener, to your rotation of holiday films. You can do it back to back with the original. You can do it on its own. It's like you said, 45 minutes, and I found it on YouTube. So like.
Oh yeah, it's
No.
on, we watch it on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, like you can find this and it is, oh wait, no, I watched it on Paramount Plus. You're right. But still, it not sponsored. But it's cute, it's fun, and like honestly, I left it in a good mood. You can say that to your wife too.
There you go.
He left it in a good mood
Good
and
mood.
liked
And
it.
it's, you know, it's an adaptation of a Broadway musical that people may not realize is a fair adaptation, you know, truncated,
Right.
but you know, it's one of the better TV adaptations of stage musicals as TV adaptations go.
We did talk about Bye Bye Birdie a little
Oh,
bit.
boy.
Oh boy. All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Boop.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. What do you want to start with?
Let's do sharps.
Let's do sharps. Okay. I am first and foremost sharping the design of this movie.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if they used everyday objects, like did you see Team America World Police?
Yes, I did.
You know how like in the background they used like Chinese cartons for like buildings or something like that. I was obsessed with Emily Hobbs's hair in this, and I was like,
Look like a Brillo pad.
yeah, it's gotta be a Brillo pad. But I wasn't sure if they actually used a Brillo pad or something that looked like it. So if
They
somebody
may have,
knows.
but I don't think they intended it to look like found objects.
Got
I don't
it.
think that was their intention,
So they
judging by.
weren't glorifying the found objects. They were trying to make animation, in your opinion, or make the
Yeah, I think they were
characters.
just, yeah, very, very stylized.
Which, by the way, my next sharp is for Mrs. Hobbs's hair.
Well, there you go.
I was obsessed with it. I don't know why. I honestly, I
You just
guess
wanted to scrunch it a little bit.
I just want to scratch it. Yes. And then my last sharp is for the guys pitching to Hobbs the knockoff holiday stores because they were so funny. So funny. You know what? I'm gonna add also the cast. Like everyone was pitch perfect, pun intended,
Yeah.
for this. Jim Parsons, Kate Mucci, Rachel
Micucci.
McFarlane,
Kate
Micucci,
Micucci.
excuse pardon me, where, Kate Micucci does sound like an elf to begin with, and
Right?
the fact that she's playing Jovi instead, like it's adorable, and she's a singer, so like they cast singers as well for this, which
They
I
cast
also
singers and they
appreciate.
cast voice actors. They cast actors who do a lot of vocal, animated voiceover work, which I think is always important. That's why it's something like Schmigadoon, that you have a few stars in there, but you cast mostly theater people. If you want it to be authentic, you want to do an animated special, get people who know how to do animated voices.
But also cast people who can sing and not do the whole Disney thing of matching voices. Because, like, Rachel Bloom is one of the additional voices in this. I don't know who she played, but I probably
She,
heard her
yeah, I
voice.
don't. I actually tried to listen for her and there was no, I couldn't figure it out.
But it was so funny.
Yeah.
What about you? What are your sharps?
Pretty much piggyback on what you said, the animation, the style, there's just the style of it and how all the New Yorkers were blue and just, you know, the tonal shifts.
You know, I don't know anything like this. Like, I think this is an original style, right? Like, could you think of something along these lines?
I mean, no, visually, I mean, their interpretation is, you know, it's claymation, but it's very much its own.
Right, like Rankin and Bass, when you see something of theirs, you're
Yeah,
like,
or you
ah,
know,
Rankin and Bass.
yeah,
Or
or
you see
Danny,
a
not Danny Elfman, Tim Burton,
Tim
David.
Burton has his own style,
Yeah.
or even in like animation, Ghibli, like or
Right.
Don Bluth or something. Like you
Yeah,
know
absolutely.
those animators had their style. I don't know. I think this is like completely original. And credit to
As
them.
far as I know.
Yeah. Anyway, any other sharps? Continue. Sorry.
Nobody cares, and I believe in you. I love the whole, one of my favorite things in life is like store windows with animatronic little scenes. And so I like that we had a little claymation animatronic beaver thing as they were singing that very touching song. It just was
The
very silly.
details of this.
Yeah. And fitting in so much of the Broadway show and not, I like that there's no music sort of original to this. It's all just from the stage show.
Which is a good like exposure for the stage show. And
Exactly.
it's interesting that they, I mean, I like that they did this after the second remount of it. Is that what we're saying? Remount?
So
Yeah.
yeah, return engagement.
Return engagement. It would be kind of interesting if they did it though in between the two. So this way, but like animation takes a while, which we know. So
True.
that makes
True. So
sense.
they could have started after the first one, for all we know.
Right. And yeah, stop motion takes forever.
Yes.
Any
Yes.
other sharps?
I think that's it for my sharps.
Okay, flats. First and foremost, because I brought this up with a very serious tone, I am flatting the way that Buddy thought Greenway was an elf. It was a little just off-putting, where I'm like, this is 2014, and now I'm watching it like a decade after it came
Right.
out. And I was like, we definitely had this conversation in 2014. So you could have done something different. And the stage version has something different. So
Why not?
I get it. Like they were probably adding more elements of the original movie back into
That's true.
this.
The more you can rely on people's prior knowledge, the less you have to explain, and that explanation takes time.
But I feel like they could have still had Greenway be portrayed as a little person, but then have Buddy like not come across him or destroy something or, you know,
True. Although
something.
for this could just be me BSing, but I feel like because of the animation style, I mean, yes, he's a little person, but I don't know that he's a little person. He's just a short. I feel like in this animated universe, people, I mean, look how tall and skinny Buddy is. He just
True.
sees a shorter person. I don't know that it reads as much as, oh my God, he is making fun of a little person, as much as it certainly does in the original film version.
Which again, the character is just seeing somebody who he's used to, you know, it's from an innocent standpoint. It's
Exactly.
not.
I feel and every you know and the person is right for being upset and you know.
Correct. Yes. Oh, 100%. But I'm more so justifying it as an audience member and, you know, us having a conversation about comedy and everything, where it's from the perspective of the character, it's
Right.
innocent. It's
But I
not
hear what you're saying. We've had
sizist, ableist, racist, anything like that. It's just, you know, that's his learned experience. Is it right? No,
Right.
but it's what his limited exposure to the world has come about. And then my other flat is Buddy getting hit by the cars. It's just, there's just too many times.
See, that's what kids like my kids love. They love
Okay, so
violence.
that is
Violence is
for,
funny.
I mean, I laugh at violence too, but I feel like, you know, after a while, I was
See,
just like,
those are the jokes inserted for the kids. Meanwhile, the adults get the jokes like the lyric where Santa wishes he was Jewish, you know, and lines like that. Those are for the adults. So you got to give and take.
a lot of Jovi's lines when he's explaining that he is an elf, and she's like, "Uh-huh, sure,
Yeah.
yeah." Did you have any flats?
One of my flats is that they cut my favorite line from the film. I don't know why they made him. So they have a sea serpent, which this black dragon-like sea serpent does not feel like it belongs in this magical Christmas world. But my favorite line from the original film is when the giant narwhal comes up and everyone's scared, and he just says, "Bye, buddy. Hope you meet your dad," and goes away. It's my favorite part of the movie. And so I'm just bitter that there's no, "Hey, buddy."
But they kept the narwhal in.
Yeah, the narwhal got a bigger part. I guess they upgraded him from a one-liner to a.
With cross eyes.
Yeah. The
It
eyes. All
was
so cute.
so
And then yeah, I would have cut the naughty listers to give more time to Jovi or something else. It doesn't feel we need them. Naughty listers, isn't the whole city naughty listers? Wouldn't it be like a giant zombie invasion of naughty people? Like, why these naughty people? And then
yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried jumps in there. I don't know. I didn't need it. But you know, there are worst flats in the world.
You're right. You're right. I'm also kind of like, I like that they had Greenway's design be that of the naughty listers, but it w wasn't. So, like, until that moment, you're like, oh, no wonder you're the king of the naughty
Yeah. Well,
listers.
and like Walter was on the naughty list for 50 years. Why wasn't he a little gremlin demon thing anyway? The
That's a great
logic
point.
didn't logic for me in this animated
Well, to
Christmas
throw
musical.
something back at you, it's for the kids. Who cares?
It's for the kid, yeah. And like I said, they just needed something to chase.
Right.
And you know,
They.
better than making scary police officer. Well, be more
Ugh,
accurate if it was just scary police officers, but that's
they just needed an antagonist, and I guess naughty listers, which are a common, thing, common knowledge of people,
Yeah.
especially those who celebrate Christmas, you don't want to be on the naughty list, something like that. It made sense. It does make sense what
Yeah,
they
it's
wanted
just
to
it's
do.
a minor quibble. It's just I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like one plot too far for me in
would
a
you add in
45-minute
the
show.
would you add in the songs to your life's playlist?
I think I would. I've been, my wife and I are going on this positivity kick and we're trying to be very positive. And I think Happy All the Time will be added to our Christmas time list. And I love Nobody Cares About Santa, I guess, which is not super positive, but it's a banger nonetheless.
I wrote down Sparkle Jolly Twinkle Jingly, which is another positive.
Yeah, it's a great decorating song.
Yeah. But I think I'll give this one a rewatch. I think I'll add this to my like holiday. I need something to throw on
Yeah, it's great for when you
movie.
just get home from work and you're like, oh, Christmas movie time. Oh my God, I can't do a whole movie. It's like 45 minutes.
45
You
minutes?
get a whole experience.
Done.
Perfect.
Do you want to watch Elf, but only 45 minutes of it
And with
and a
music.
musical?
I mean, sign
Well,
me up.
this was a fast episode. Woohoo! For me editing in
Yay.
the future. But we're done. Unless there's anything else you want to like throw out there.
I don't think so.
There's two voices for the serpent, by the way. It's Matt Lauer and Halsey.
That's so
That's
weird.
wild. But Mark, what do you have to plug or promote?
Oh my gosh. Come visit me over at my YouTube channel, Broadway by Ghostlight, every Thursday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I bring a brand new episode of Broadway Jeopardy. 26 different clues for all ranges of musical theater love and knowledge, and we have a fun time, and I'll teach you a little something too, I promise.
And then you also have a back catalog of deep diving into
Yes, and a lot of those videos will
unknown.
help out it with the Broadway Jeopardy too.
Oh, hint, hint, hint,
I
hint,
you
hint.
know, if you want to have a jump on some of the harder questions, you can watch my breakdowns. Yeah, I like to look at some flop shows that, you know, may have gotten a little forgotten over the years or, you know, very forgotten.
Which we kind of did one as an episode, Top Banana.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you, I don't remember if you said you did an episode on that one.
I
But
didn't
you
because
did.
I tend to not to do ones with movie versions.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you want to talk more about Elf, or if you saw the this revival, when we could say that because it's more than 3 years, you can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Yeah. Do you already have Elf Buddy's musical Christmas on your holiday playlist? Let me know. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're doing a mini saga, two Ooh. Episode mini saga, where we're going back to the lives, everyone.
Oh boy.
And we'll be discussing a Christmas Story live.
Oh, I've never seen the live, but I did love the stage show. I actually, it's with Elf, one of the better Christmas musicals, in my opinion.
How dare you? Christmas Carol live musical. Come on. That's where it's at.
I only know the 2004 Kelsey Grammer TV version.
You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it on stage. You gotta find a slime tutorial.
I don't think I've ever seen a Christmas Carol on stage in any.
They don't do it anymore. Nobody really does it. It's all the straight play or their own version of a musical, not the Alan Menken one.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mark, thank you so much for coming back on for this very special holiday episode. We will have you on again, obviously, in the future. I don't know with what, because I don't have that page turned.
I'll find something you really hate.
Great. Hey, I think that's your new goal. It sounds like that's your, like, after Lil Abner, you're like, we're going to find stuff for you to hate. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.